Hey guys, what's up? Doing another episode here. I'm actually still over in AmazeCon, and sitting with me is Brian, let me see if I'm saying this right, Kochensky.
That is absolutely correct.
How are you today?
Fantastic. How are you?
I'm okay. I mean, it's day three. I'm trying to figure out why I'm not in a mental coma, but I'm good. I'm doing okay.
I think a lot of people are asking that question about themselves.
Especially after last night. Last night was a long night.
Oh,
the
yeah.
There was a magic show. There was a comedy. Yep. There was a, what is it? A lightsaber fight, apparently, that ended up in both lightsabers actually getting physically broken.
Nice. Now that's a party.
And then I watched the aftermath as they were yelling at each other, "You broke my lightsaber." Well, it wasn't so much as like they snapped in half. It's these two guys have known each other since grade school, and I think they got angry. One took the other one and snapped it over his knee. So the other guy took the other guy's lightsaber and snapped it over his knee.
Oh.
Problem is, one lightsaber is a $150 one. The other one's a custom built like $500-something.
Oh, so there's some serious damage there.
Yeah, so how's the convention going for you?
This convention's been a lot of fun for us. We always enjoy conventions, and coming to AmazeCon, it's been a blast.
Now, tell us a little bit about what you do. Because I know, I saw you're at the table with the Fortress Publishing.
Correct.
You say you're a publisher and you're a creator.
Yes. I'm a publisher and a writer. I have a writing partner, Chris Pisano, and he couldn't make it today because he's a jerk face.
So, good.
So I'm holding down the fort. I'm a writer and publisher for Fortress Publishing, Inc. He and I are the owners of it. We publish science fiction, fantasy, and horror. We do some magazines. We also do a couple of anthologies once a year or two. And as writers, we have a couple novels out. We're in some different anthologies as well. So we're just trying to keep busy and get our names out there.
Oh, good. Where does your main focus lie on when you're writing? What kind of stuff?
Like you said, science fiction, fantasy, horror. And lately, we've been focusing a little bit more on the novels. Because they've started to get picked up by other publishers, and we're starting to have some success with those. One particular publisher asked for a trilogy. Our other publisher asked for the continuation of the series, so we're very excited and happy.
That was actually going to be my next question. If you had series, are they all one-offs, or do you have continuous stories?
Well, what we try to do is pretty much what any writer does with their novels is establish the universe with the first novel, make sure it has a satisfying ending, yet enough to build on so the readers would want more.
What series do you have out at the moment?
Right now we have two out. The one series is The Vengeful Prince Saga. We have book one called The Devil's Grasp. We're working on book two. It's a high fantasy, so you know, the swords and dragons and wizards. But in it, different groups of people are trying to get these five magical gemstones, because when they're combined, it gives the user the ability to control the demons of hell. Though it's a high fantasy, there is a lot of horror elements to it. Our other novel is called The Shattered Visage Lies. It's set in modern...
Savage... say that quickly.
Sorry. The Shattered Visage Lies.
Oh, okay.
It's set in modern day, and in it, people are waking up with superpowers, but instead of putting them in spandex and capes and making them fight crime, we try to keep it grounded in reality and explore what regular people would do if they had these abilities.
Yeah, it makes sense, because if I found myself flying tomorrow, I doubt I'd be going to buy like a Lycra tight suit.
Correct.
A mask maybe to hide who I am, but right. I don't know about wearing tights.
And you'd probably use your abilities to be a dick. I mean, that's kind of...
Oh, no, definitely, yeah.
Yeah.
It'd be like, I'm not paying for gas no more if I could fly.
Exactly, and you probably wouldn't try to think of ways to take over the world or anything, but you probably wouldn't come up with ways to stop crime. You'd just probably come up with ways to serve your own purpose.
I'm like, I wouldn't be trying to take over the world. I wouldn't be stopping crime. I'd be just trying to find out, how can I not spend money that I have?
Exactly. Because you know
what? Make money.
The superpower I always wanted is telekinesis. Because if I had that, I'd be right in Vegas. That little ball on the roulette wheel would stop every number I wanted it to.
That's kind of like the movie Chronicle. Did you see that one?
Yes.
Yeah, the whole movie is basically just based on telekinesis and just what you can do with it.
Exactly. And that's kind of what we try to explore with the book. Except we even take it to the next level. It's a fun book, chock full of sex and violence, too.
There is sex and violence.
Oh, yes, there is.
With powers being used?
Yep. Yeah. So it's it gets a little out there.
Now, how long have you been writing? Like, when was there? When did you start seriously writing, and when did you find yourself actually publishing?
Well, I think any writer will tell you they started writing at birth, but you know,
I came out the womb and I was like, "Give me a contract! I got an idea."
Exactly. Give me a pencil. This crazy event happened. It was, you know, all nice and dark and warm, and all of a sudden it's bright and cold, and people are slapping my ass. Like, awful.
Sounds like a near-death experience with the slap bass.
Yes. But I've always wanted to write, obviously, and I think I started to get serious about it in my early 20s. Mm-hmm. And then later on when Chris and I, we have known each other for well over 2 decades, but since we're dudes, we don't communicate. So we literally had known each other for 10 years before a mutual friend said, "You know he writes, right?" "No." "Well, you know he writes, right?" "No." So then we finally got together and we started working on our first novel. And that's when we decided to come up with some ways to protect ourselves legally, you know, regarding intellectual property. So we formed a corporation. So we formed Fortress. And we decided, now we have a corporation, you know, let's do something with it. Let's figure out, we want to be a part of the publishing world, so let's try to be publishers and see what's involved, so we at least have a better understanding of what other publishers go through.
Are you guys open to having other people send you stuff and publishing
right now? Just short stories. Mm-hmm. We don't do anyone else's novels or graphic novels yet, so, but right now we have a couple lines of magazines. They're all short stories. We have a couple anthologies out, and again, just collections of short stories.
Where do you see, as a writer and a creator, like with, especially with fantasy, where do your ideas come from?
You know what, the weirdest shit comes from reality, man.
Really?
Yeah, you just, you know, you just watch people being weird and you just kind of take it one step further, or mm-hmm. you know, especially, well, that's a lot of where horror comes from. It's just
do you ever get to a point where you come up with something and you're like, "God, what the hell's wrong with me? Like, am I that sick in the head?"
Every day. Well, once upon a time, I used to be an accountant. So I would you know, you go to an office.
From numbers to words.
Every day, you just go to this mind-numbing job, and, you know, you understand the concept of zombies. It's just mindless creatures shuffling around, and, yeah.
It's like, it makes me think of the beginning of Shaun of the Dead.
Yes, absolutely.
Where you see everyone shuffling around, but they're not actually even dead yet.
Absolutely.
They're dead inside.
Yes, absolutely.
They're not dead physically yet.
Yeah, the subtle, one of my favorite scenes of the movie is when the plague hits and he goes through his daily routine and doesn't even notice that it's happening. And that's so much in today's society.
Out of from your writings, what's one that you found the easiest to write and enjoyed the most, and what's the hardest thing you found? Like, because I know with fantasy, especially high fantasy, it's not just, "Oh, look, I made a character." It's a matter of, I got to set boundaries, rules for the world. I got to create laws, physics.
And I think you just nailed it there. Of the two novels, The Shattered Visage Lies was the easiest to write, because I've been reading comic books ever since I was 6 years old. So I've always had grown up with superheroes. And I think one of the things that really upset me about the 1970s and 80s and 90s storytelling is when something amazing happens to someone, they get these new superpowers, their origin story is done in one page. And I always thought it'd be way more interesting to see how they learn to control it, what they would do with it, how their lives have changed.
That's when that was like the creation of the prequel.
Yes.
Because before the 80s and 90s, it didn't bother me. There was only after the 90s, and they're like, we really should explain some more. Like, everyone loves this character, but we don't have any more stories. Yo, why don't we tell them where he came from? Oh, okay.
That's a great story. And then, like you had mentioned, fantasy, The Devil's Grasp was, it was a little more difficult to write because, as you said, you establish rules. And then you have to remember those rules to make sure you don't break them, especially if you have wizards and magic. And you might accidentally trip yourself up by having a wizard do something later in the story. And then the reader said, "Well, why didn't they just do that earlier in the story and save a lot of time, money, and effort?"
But then that would cut out 20 pages of the book.
Yeah.
I'm going for quality, but I'm also going for some quantity, too.
Exactly. Hence the difficulty. How do I get those pages logically?
What did you, as far as, because you mentioned comics, what comics and creators did you read? And also, I'm not curious, and just general novel writers, too. What did you grow up influenced?
Definitely, you know, I was always a Marvel guy. So I grew up with Marvel.
Interview's over. No, I'm just kidding.
So I grew up with the Avengers. I always liked the super groups because there's a dynamic between the characters
versus
like a standalone superhero, you know, doing their own thing. Especially back then, you know, the characters weren't quite as deep as they are today. So to really get some great characterizations, it's through their interaction of other characters.
It's funny you said that. I was going to say it also makes characters relatable. When you have the one like Batman, people love Batman, but you can only relate to a point. How many of the people in this room are vigilantes with split personalities like him? How many of them are billionaire playboys?
Exactly.
In a group setting, he could be a billionaire playboy, but everyone has to deal with a loudmouth friend if they're interacting with someone all the time.
Especially if you and someone else are trying to get to a common goal, but you have different ways to try to get there. So that's definitely very interesting to explore that. As far as novelists, I have to say right now, one of my favorites is Chuck Palahniuk. He is he's a very messed up individual, and he can express it very well on the written word.
It's funny you said that. I used to work at a bookstore years ago. I remember when Hauntings or Ghosts?
Haunted. Yes.
Haunted came out, and he did. And I remember the tour he did. I didn't go to one, but I heard about how people were passing out and puking at one of the stories. I finally read it.
Yeah.
It didn't bother me, but that's just because I'm twisted enough to it doesn't bother me. But I got why.
Absolutely. I have to admit, of all the novels coming from Big Five publishers, that is by far the most disturbing and grossest I've ever read.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
With your writing, is there any authors out there that you don't mind being associated or like connected to? Like, I know one girl, she's she's writing a vampire werewolf novel series, but she wants to be known the way Anne Rice is known for vampires and everything. She wants to be known for like werewolves and stuff in that fashion.
That makes sense. I don't mind. I certainly wouldn't mind being compared to any successful writer.
Yeah. Oh yeah. No. Yeah. No.
whether I like them or not.
It's like, are you comparing me to them for their writing? No, just because you both got money. I'm like, okay then.
Yeah. You know what? I'll even take that too.
Yeah. I mean, who wouldn't want Stephen King's career?
Exactly.
Now, you don't have to like his books,
exactly,
but his career and success, I don't think anyone would argue.
Yeah, even if they read something of mine and said, oh, this reminds me of Stephen King. You know, my day's done. I'm a happy guy. go home, do a couple shots, kick the cat, and go to bed.
Yeah. Well, that's a double meaning there, kicking the cat. I'm like, that's an innuendo. What's the last book you read, though?
Interesting. It's funny that you just asked me that. I'm finishing up Damned by Chuck Palahniuk. It's a great, fun little story. I can't believe you're asking me such trick questions here. You know, asking a writer what the last book you read.
It's because everyone's so focused on what you're writing.
Exactly.
It's like, but it's nice to know what the writer does. Like I mentioned before, I've been reading the same book for the last 2 years, which is Brian, you know, Brian Keene, the horror writer.
Yeah.
It's Brian Keene's. I think it's the Urban Gothic is the one I've been reading.
Okay, fantastic.
And I've done Instagram pictures of me holding it at the airport. I'm sure he's seen them, and I've gone back and forth in emails a couple of times, and I'm sure if he ever looks at my social media, he'll be like, either this guy really doesn't know how to read,
or he loves the book so much, he's reading it over and over and over again.
And then he screamed, oh, that was good. I got to close it. I can't continue that.
I got to absorb.
A month to absorb that line. What are you working on right now? What are you writing?
We're working on the sequel to Devil's Grasp. And at Balticon, the Baltimore Science Fiction convention in Baltimore, at the end of May, during Memorial Day, we will be releasing our third novel called The Biggest Bounty. So it's
is this the trilogy one?
No, this is a whole new series.
Okay.
We started, got it from a different publisher, read it, liked it, and we're very excited because he is taking a risk with us, and he feels like he could do something with it.
Can we say the publisher name?
Absolutely. It's Fantastic Books.
Oh, okay.
And so it's we're having a lot of fun with that. It's coming out very soon. We're excited. It's Galactic Bounty Hunters. So who doesn't love Galactic Bounty Hunters?
Who doesn't love regular Bounty Hunters? I know my brother's a little larger than me, and he was talking about becoming a Bounty Hunter. He asked if I join. I'm like, if I can carry two or three tasers. And the interesting thing I found out about Bounty Hunters, at least here in the States, if you go to a house and you smash stuff as the Bounty Hunter trying to grab somebody,
wow,
you're not liable. It all falls on either...
Really?
The person you're going after for being there, but you, the bounty hunter, from what I'm told, are not liable for any damage. So if you go to a house, knock on the door, you open the door, and they're like, oh, he's not here, and you see the guy behind there, you can smash the door in, you can kick the TV for no reason if you want to.
Oh, wow. You know what?
You know what? This is just for hiding him. and then just show your badge, you know, bounty hunter, and then walk out and be like, sorry about that.
You know, the next party I go to, I'm going to try that. Let's go there and mess stuff up. I'm a bounty hunter. It's okay. We're good.
You got to have probable cause. I got to make sure criminal you're going after is there.
Man. What if I'm the criminal and I'm hunting myself? That's
true. Just handcuff yourself at the end and walk out. Sorry, guys. Yeah. You know how it is. Or do you? with stuff you've written, is there anything that you haven't written yet that you've... Because I know with a lot of creators, there's always the one idea or a couple ideas you... stay bubbling and they don't put them down because they're like, I don't know if it's ready to go down yet, so they stay there for a long time.
Oh, absolutely. I think every writer has that. I've always loved post-apocalyptic stories, and of course there's been some debate that the post-apocalyptic bubble has burst, so you know, do we invest the time and effort to write down the story that we got in our head, or should we just move on to something else that could be more valuable? But I think we're going to write it anyway, just because it's fun. And, you know, it's as a writer, it's very difficult to say that you're going to do this for the millions of dollars. So just do it for fun.
Do
it for enjoyment.
I mean, you should always be doing it for that.
Right.
If the money comes in, and then once you get to a certain point and they ask you, will you do it for the money? Yeah, why not? Yeah. I mean, I know how to do it now. Why not?
Exactly. I have zero issues selling out. So if someone came over with an obnoxious check and wanted me to write something I didn't want to write, I'd still write it.
But that's kind of the point. Like, a lot of people make selling out bad, but it's like, that's the whole point of having a career is to get to the point where it's not that you're selling out. The whole point, it's when you become successful, they call it selling out. But to you, it's like, no. It was me doing what I do and now just getting paid for what I do kind of thing.
Right. Or, you know, if you take the sellout very early and you earn enough money where you don't need to take any more sellouts and you can do what you want to do. And then
you work it backwards. You're like, write My Little Pony for the next 10 years and you make your millions. And then you're like, now I'm going to write My Little Pony in any damn way I want.
That's right.
Oh, my God. More things. This is what happens when you're at the convention. Your team comes back with more stuff every like 5 minutes. I'm gonna ransack this bag in a bit. I'm ransacking it, you know. Like it's funny, like you said about the bubble, bursting the bubble, the post-apocalyptic. The one thing I've been people tell me, because with some of the stuff I've been working on, they're like, "Oh, the zombies are done."
Right.
Oh, vampires are so passe.
Yep.
I did an episode on just general werewolf movies, and everyone's like, oh, no one even cares about werewolves. I'm like, well, it's also a matter of how you write it. Like, everyone's like, oh, zombies are done. Yeah, but has everyone done zombies from this point of view?
Right.
From this angle? And then some people will be like, oh, well, so-and-so has, Yeah. And is it a big thing? No, so not everyone knows that. So that idea of that aspect isn't burnt out yet.
Yeah. And I don't think there's truly any kind of bubble regarding storytelling. I think it's cyclical.
It's waves,
I mean,
waves.
As you mentioned, zombies, you know, you had Night of Living Dead and then the follow-up movies, you know, those were big hits and, you know, certainly had a cultural impact. Then they kind of disappeared for a little bit, but then they came back. So
yeah, and then we're walking down. And now even people are like, oh, it's already down. I'm like, which means if we start working on a big novel now in about a year
by the time
or two.
It's ready. By the time you write it, you have it beta read, you edit it, and you're ready to sell it. Hey, it might be popular again.
What's the biggest crutch for you when it comes to writing?
Biggest?
Crutch.
Crutch?
What's the one thing that sometimes you have to go back to or something that keeps you
from moving forward? It's one of those things where having a writing partner is very, very helpful. because some of the times when the way he and I write, it's again because we're dudes. I'll write a chapter, I'll put the characters in an impossible situation, and I'll pass the chapter off to him and say, "Oh, it's your turn."
Not my problem no more. Just let me know. Let me know when it's my turn again.
Let me know how you get them out, and then you know it'll be my turn.
Do you guys actually go back and forth? And
for the longer pieces, definitely for novels, we will pass it back and forth. Usually for the short stories, we'll talk about it beforehand, but just one of us will really write it, and then the other one really go through, you know, challenge what's going on in the story and the style and et cetera, to really.
Do either one of you have a certain strength in your writing?
Absolutely.
And styles?
I always say, and he'll definitely agree with me, and the people that who know us would agree with the statement, is I'm the better storyteller, but he's the better writer. So he can turn the written word into artwork. However, he would take 5 pages to describe a tree. Whereas I'll come along and I'll move the story along and add some subplots. And
he'll tell you how the tree looked like, and then you're like, but let me tell you what happened to it now.
Exactly,
okay, it got cut down, it got burnt.
Yep.
Yeah. It don't look like those 5 pages he told you.
Like, right.
it makes sense. Yeah. Sometimes you have to move. I know when I write, sometimes my biggest problem, and even after having written a comic book, is dialogue.
Right.
I'm heavy dialogue, and that's I think probably just because I talk a lot.
Right.
I have a big mouth, so I mean I do a podcast with the microphone and everything. But I think what's interesting is someone told me that I should probably look into writing scripts because I'm so dialogue heavy, or I should write something that some kind of a storyline that takes place on the phone.
Oh.
A lot of phone call conversations.
Yeah, sometimes when you get dialogue going, especially if you know where it's going in your head, you want to get it down quickly, and you forget to include the visual cues that the characters are giving to each other, or you know what's happening in the setting during the dialogue.
Yeah,
so, I understand completely.
Yeah, because in your head you're like, oh, he's walking back and forth, he's pacing, and then you re-go back and be like, but no one else knows that, just me.
But yeah, that's definitely one of the advantages of having a writing partner.
Oh, I can see that.
We both want to get to the same spot. We both want to make sure our message is coming through. So we're there to challenge each other to make sure it's getting to where we want it to go.
You guys ever get into idea fights over, I don't think that should happen, I think
no,
it should?
No, not really, because, you know, we certainly have our disagreements. I mean, that's, you know, I'm not saying that we don't. It's just that we've known each other for so long, we know how to get our message across in the most efficient way. Because as mentioned, we both want the same thing. So if there is a difference of opinion, you know, we'll just work through it. We'll just try it this way, try it that way, see which one works better, and then go from there. Or we just keep drinking until one of us passes out, and then whoever's left awake will finish the project, and off we go.
So no, like, chloroform to, like, my idea goes first?
I didn't say that.
Like, no, seriously, does it smell like chloroform? I told you the monster's going to have 4 arms.
That's
okay?
Right.
For your writings, who would you recommend it to? People who are fans of what other kind of writers or stories would you recommend your writing
for?
You know,
it's really difficult to try to compare ourselves with a bigger name without sounding kind of like a douche about it. So
no, I love sounding like a douche. You know how you get away with that? Other people have told me.
There we go. I would say just anyone who is a fan of a darker science fiction, darker fantasy. That's kind of where we kind of lurk. We have a very jaded opinion of humanity. So anytime we have our characters together, if it could go wrong or go dark, it will go wrong and go dark.
Oh, I got you. Yeah. Which it should.
Yeah.
Life is too happy sometimes.
Yeah.
You know what? Just for that, I'm going to go like punch up a couple of people in this room.
Exactly.
Just for no reason.
Humanity is a virus. It's, you know.
Oh, my God. So with your writings, how many of your friends and people that know you have you killed off in your writings?
I just saw
someone post on Facebook a picture of, that's it, I'm killing you off in my next novel.
Nice. We haven't kind of gone there yet. Most of our friends and family have been very supportive about it, our stuff. So we plus as a small press publisher, micro press publisher, we need as much help as we can get for free, and that's usually our friends and family. So we want to make sure that we stay on their good side too.
Where would you suggest someone start if they're going to read your anything you're writing? Where do you think is probably the easiest place for them to start with?
I would suggest The Shattered Visage Lies. It's definitely a very plot oriented. It's a very fast paced book. The chapters are very short, so it's very easily to digest and move through it very quickly. And it also gets a very good idea of what's going on in our heads.
it's a good introduction to the world. So then if you like this, if you like this and you want to go deeper into our psychoticness, now you can move into the other stories. That's good. Well, thank you for joining us. If you want to say where people can find you guys.
You can find us anywhere that books are sold. You just have to ask for it. Our books probably might not be on the shelves, but if you go in and ask, I'm sure they can get them for you.
All right, cool. Online, any website?
Absolutely. We're on, where all of our stuff is on Amazon and through our website, www.fortresspublishinginc.com.
Thank you very much.
All right, thank you.